Good morning, Crossbridge. Who else smelled popcorn on the way in? Funny story, since we started this new series at the movies, I have not gotten any popcorn. Because usually I can't eat popcorn before I sing, because that's going to mess up my voice. And then afterwards, I get off the stage. Last week, I ran out to the hallway to get popcorn, and it was gone. So please, if somebody can save me some popcorn, that would be awesome. But I'm glad. I just want to welcome you if you're new here. I hope you find this place welcoming. If you're watching online, I want to welcome you as well. This morning, we're continuing in our series, At the Movies. I love this series. We actually plan our series a few months in advance. And when I saw this on the docket, I was really excited because I love movies. I watch movies all the time. Pastor Jimmy asked me this week, well, how many movies do you watch? I probably watch one movie a day because I fall asleep to them at night. So it's 7 days a week, I'm watching seven movies. And even when I go to the movie theater, if I love the movie so much, I'll actually spend extra money to go see it again. And my girlfriend will tell you, every time I go to the movies, I have to get a bucket of popcorn and a medium soda, no matter how expensive it is. If it's a $5 soda, I guess I'm buying a $5 soda. I always get the popcorn that you're able to refill, the big ones, and I never even get medium way. I only eat the top, and then I'm done with it, but I still spend the 10 bucks to get it. But I do love movies. And the movie I want to talk about today is called The Shack. And in this series, we're looking at different movies and trying to pull out some biblical truths in them. Now, this movie, The Shack, was actually adapted from a book called The Shack. And I read it when I was like 16 or 17. And I fell in love with this book. This is a book that I've actually read probably at least once or twice every year since I was like 16 years old. So when I remember the day that I found out they were having the movie, I was watching something on YouTube and it came up as an ad. And I remember, finally, they're making the movie that I've been waiting for years. And it wasn't as good as the book, of course. When is a movie ever as good as the book? But I still loved seeing the movie and seeing the characters come to life. And today, we're going to meet a character named Mac, who's had a hard life. He had an abusive father, and he actually loses a child in the worst way possible. And Mac's going to encounter God through this in the flesh. And God's going to be portrayed three different ways. He's going to be portrayed as a black woman, an Asian woman, and a Middle Eastern man. So will you watch with me as you watch this trailer?
Car leaves in 20 seconds.
We gotta go, little rascal.
Do you think the princess should have a red dress like mine?
Red it is.
Where's Missy?
Missy!
Where's Missy?
Sorry, Mac, they haven't seen her.
Missy! Missy!
I was scared. I didn't know what to do.
Possible suspect sighting. Ground teams found the truck in the mountains.
I'm really sorry, Mr. Phillips.
You want some help over there?
I'm okay.
I'll have some dinner tonight.
Maybe next time.
I'm so sorry.
We've lost so much already. I don't want to lose you too.
The letter showed up in my mailbox, with no tracks in the snow.
You're not thinking about going back there, are you?
I gotta do something.
You know, this isn't a good idea.
It's crazy, but this is all I got.
Got a fire going inside if you want to warm up.
Mackenzie Allen Phillips. I've been looking forward to this.
Do I know you?
Not very well, but we can work on that.
He's still having a hard time believing this is real.
Why did you bring me here?
There's no easy answer that'll take your pain away.
Where were you when I needed you?
I never left you. I never left this.
Ain't it just like a tear to go and blow?
You want me to forgive him? I want him to hurt like he hurt me.
You want the promise of a pain-free life?
Yeah.
There isn't one.
You can do this.
I can't.
Not on your own, you can't.
This is your flying lesson.
I believe you.
Today, I don't want the focus to be on how God was portrayed in the movie, because that's caused a lot of controversy in the different Christian and other faiths, how they would portray God. That's not what we're talking about today. And I don't want to talk about even the theology of the movie. Today, what I want to talk about is the heart of it. I want to talk about Mac's heart and how it changes through the movie. And I want to talk about how Mac viewed God and then how he viewed others. Imagine if you got to spend a whole weekend with God. Some of us would raise our hands and jump at that chance to say, I get to worship with God in the flesh and I can ask as many questions as I want to get to experience what it would be like to sit with God. But some of us, we wouldn't want this. We wouldn't want to have a weekend with God because it would be difficult for us. Because of things in our past and because of our story, it wouldn't be this happy time at the lake with God. It would be an argument with him, trying to figure out if he really is a good God. What's interesting about this movie is because of the pain that Mac has experienced in his life, growing up with an abusive father who claimed to be a Christian, getting to a point in his life with his family, he loses his daughter to a kidnap and then of a murder. Mac has some struggles with God, and he's at a point where he doesn't want to be with God, let alone know if he's good. And maybe you find yourself in that place today, not just angry with people around you or with someone, but maybe you find yourself angry with God. What do we do with this? In the trailer, you see that Mac opens up a mailbox, and he pulls out a letter. And the letter actually says, Mackenzie, it's been a while. I've missed you. I'll be at the shack next weekend if you want to get together. Papa. And what you have to understand of why it's signed Papa is because Mac's wife and his children have made a nickname with God. They feel so close to God, they gave him a nickname as Papa. This intimate relationship they have with God. So when Mac reads it, signed Papa, he instantly gets angry. Because automatically he thinks, well, this can't be true. And if it is true, this is a prank. Because who would want him to go back to the place of his pain? That shack is where the kidnapping and the murder happened. Why would he go back to that place? So this either had to be a horrible prank, or maybe it was really God, and if it was God, he was torturing him. Has anyone ever hurt you so bad that it rocked you to your core? That it took you a long time to get over it? Or maybe someone's hurt you so bad that you're still not over it, even though it might have been years apart. I'm talking about a big hurt, not like a name calling, but something that hurts deep, that you still think about from time to time. I think a lot of us have been hurt like that before. But what if I told you that God wants to redeem that person? What if I told you that God wants to give that person who hurt you the most another chance? That God wants to forgive them and redeem them, and he wants them worshiping in heaven with you. God wants to give another chance to the person who hurt you most. And maybe because of that, you're angry with God. But even today, God wants to give your relationship with him another chance. If it was your choice, would you give that person who hurt you another chance? It's funny, there's actually a story in the Bible of someone who's not just hurt by one person, but by a whole nation. And it's actually the story of Jonah. And we kind of make it cute, and we kind of like tell it in Sunday school and nursery rhymes about how Jonah and the whale. But if you actually read Jonah, it goes a lot deeper, and it's a lot darker of a story. That's a story actually filled with a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, and Jonah is sitting right at the center of it. Would you read with me in Jonah chapter 1? The Lord gave this message to Jonah. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. So God calls Jonah to go to this city and show his judgment. Tell them of what God's going to do if they don't change. And Jonah decides to get up and literally go the opposite direction of what God wants for him. He tries to run from God. Why would Jonah even bother to do that? Why would Jonah decide to go the opposite way? God literally told him, go to these people and say my word. And Jonah chose to do the exact opposite. There's a lot you need to understand about Jonah and the time frame. See, Jonah was a prophet of God, so his job was to talk to God, and when God gives him a message, his job was to go tell it to the people. And now God's telling him, go to this city of Nineveh, where the Assyrians live and tell them my word. But these Assyrians were not good people. They were a threat. They were a threat to Jonah and the whole nation of Israel. They were terrorists constantly sending threats over to them. They were evil people who were prejudiced and delinquents who thought about themselves and only their own agenda. They were people who truly wanted to see the nation of Israel wiped out. They thought they were right, and they thought they were the true power in that time. So you think about it, and you look through our own history, that's not different from what started wars in our own lives. And if you think about today, there's people I think we think about that. That maybe even today on the news, you see things, and you think, oh, how could God love these people? And now God is telling Jonah to go to them and give them, these horrible people, another chance to tell them what will come if they don't change. And Jonah doesn't agree with this. So what Jonah has going on in his mind is not, they're not worthy of a warning. What they're worthy of is severe punishment and wrath. Jonah hated these people. So when we read that Jonah decided to go the opposite direction of what God had for him, it starts to make sense a little bit, because Jonah couldn't stand the nation and the city of Nineveh. This is what the rest of the verse says. So Jonah, he went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. So Jonah gets on this boat. He hires these sailors to take him literally as far away as Nineveh as possible. And on the way, God's still trying to get Jonah's attention, because God decided that he wants to give Jonah, like the city of Nineveh, another chance. That Jonah wouldn't have to disobey God. He gets another chance. So Jonah literally tries to get as far away from the situation as possible. And he's still unresponsive to God's chance. So God decides to send a storm. Read with me in verse 4. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. So now Jonah is on this boat with these sailors, trying to get as far away from God as possible. But God's not finished with him. So he sends a storm, and the sailors start to freak out, and they're actually throwing cargo overboard because they're starting to sink, and they're panicking, going, what could we have done to anger God so much? And in this storm, Jonah stands up, and he tells them, it's me. I'm running from God. And the sailors go, well, what are we going to do now? And Jonah says, I think the only thing you can do is throw me overboard. So they do. The sailors go, and they pick Jonah up and throw him out into the water. And this is what happens in verse 17. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. God was going to try and get to Jonah as much as he could. And it was taking all of this just to bring Jonah back on track. Now he's sitting in the center of a whale. And I can only imagine that he is not the happiest guy in the world. Jonah must be upset, because he's sitting now in the belly of this fish, fuming mad and thinking, it's because of those people, because of the people in the city of Nineveh, I'm stuck in this situation. If they didn't exist, or if God just wiped them out when he was going to, I would never have ran away. I would never have had a storm happen. I would never have gotten tossed overboard, and I would never got swallowed up by a fish. But God had to do all of this to get Jonah to a place where he's now sitting in this fish. And God's constantly telling him, Jonah, who are you to judge anyone that I choose to rescue? Jonah, who are you to judge? And even in our own lives, who are we to judge? In the shack, we find the same tension with Mac, where Mac is not just dealing with one person who hurt him, but the many. No longer just the man who kidnapped and murdered his daughter. It's bringing up more feelings about, now it's that man that he's hurt against. It's his father who was a Christian who abused his mother and him. The murderer, and even his kids. Because now his kids are getting distant from him. And they're starting to talk less. And they're starting to disobey Mac. And they're starting to not care about their relationship anymore. So Mac has all these people in his life who are hurting him. In this scene we're about to watch, Mac meets this woman who personifies herself as wisdom, the wisdom of the last series we learned in Proverbs. And this woman brings Mac to a place where I don't think any of us would want to be, confronted with how we judge. And Mac is probably thinking, he is not a judgmental person. But he is. I think somewhere deep inside all of us, we do judge, even if it's subconscious. So what will Mac do when he's made the judge? What would we do if we were presented with how we judge people? Would you watch?
You don't believe that God is good?
Is Missy his child?
Of course.
Then no. I don't think God loves his children very well.
If that's what you believe, come, sit.
You can judge me fine from there.
Judge you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have something to confess?
You know what I did.
Yes, but you're not the one on trial. Today, you are the judge.
What?
Why are you surprised? You spent your whole life judging nearly everyone and everything, their actions and motivations, as if you could even know them. You make snap judgments just by the color of someone's skin, their clothes, their body language. By all accounts, you're a well-practiced expert, Mackenzie. Sit.
So who am I supposed to judge?
Well, there must be at least a few who are to blame for all the pain and suffering in the world, right? What about the selfish? The greedy? Those who harm others? Murderers? Drug dealers, terrorists. Guilty?
Yeah.
What about men who beat their wives?
Here, what do you say?
Or fathers who beat their sons to alleviate their own suffering?
Let's not do this.
Should that man be judged?
Yeah. I don't.
What about this boy?
What about him?
Would you judge him?
He's a kid.
But you already have. That boy is your father.
Yes, sir.
Now, what about the man who preys on innocent little girls?
Daddy! Daddy!
Okay, that's enough.
Is that man guilty?
I would damn him to hell.
And what of his father? The man who twisted him into this deviant monster?
I would damn him too.
How can you stop there? Doesn't the legacy of brokenness go all the way back to Adam? And what about God? Isn't he at fault? He set all this in motion. Especially if he knew the outcome.
Do you want me to say it? Absolutely. God is to blame.
How many of us, if we're being truly honest, have felt this way in our life? That sometimes we feel like God's to blame. We can probably stop and look at Mac and say, he shouldn't have said that. But I think we've all felt this way before. That there are things we identify with or things that can happen, and when we look at people, somewhere inside us we think, I don't think they deserve heaven. maybe they do deserve hell. And I think we would believe that. Have you ever been there? I want to tell you this morning that I have been there. And I know that we can feel this way sometimes because I felt this way sometimes. I remember about a year ago, my family went through a big struggle. And basically this fraud corporation took money from us. Money that we worked hard for, and every penny we had was gone. And it destroyed me on the inside like nothing else has ever had. And I remember driving one day in my car and just getting so angry with God. Why did he let it happen? Couldn't he have stopped that company from ever calling? Couldn't have the people been caught right after and everything that they took been returned? And what happens now? They just get off with everything, and my family and me are left to pick up the pieces? So here I am driving, screaming at God, wasn't I good enough, God? Didn't I change my life and devote myself to you to the point where now I want to be a pastor in your name? And you still let them get off. And I can tell you in that moment, I don't want any redemption for those people. I don't want them to have my forgiveness, let alone have the forgiveness of God, and then one day have the chance to spend eternity with him. I think this is how Jonah felt too. Because in my cry, I'm saying, God, you said you loved me. You said I was a part of your family, that you would adopt me in as your own and I would be your child. And now you want to say you want the same for them? And this is what God is saying for Nineveh. I want to redeem them. And Jonah's sitting there going, but we were your chosen people. So he's sitting in the belly of this fish. And then there's a moment where he cries out to God. And he has this genuine, raw, beautiful prayer. But at the end of it, he still does not want to go. But he calls out to God, and God listens. And God tells the fish to spit Jonah out, where else but the shores of Nineveh. Right back into the tension. Jonah has to make another decision again. Now he's at the shores of Nineveh. He's right there. And he has to decide, am I going to run away again, or am I going to obey? And let me tell you that this story of Jonah isn't the hero of the story. This isn't the story where a man realizes his mistakes and changes his ways. This is a story about a man who chooses not to forgive. Jonah doesn't want it to forgive. He doesn't want this to be over. He wants Nineveh to be punished. So he has a choice. Obey or run away. What do you think God wants you to do with the people that you hate most? Hate them still or forgive them? How do we become the judge in our situation? Jonah is becoming the judge in his. He either has to go and tell them or leave them to be condemned. What if we had to be the judge? In the movie, Mac has to deal with the same thing. This is going to be actually the completion of the last scene we saw. You can play the clip.
Well, if it's so easy for you to judge God, you must choose one of your children to spend eternity in heaven. The other will go to hell.
Can't.
Can't do what? I'm only asking you to do something you believe God does. So, who will go to hell? You could choose Kate. She said some pretty hurtful things. She shuts you out. You're not even sure if she loves you anymore. Or, you could choose Josh. He's being disobedient, sneaking out. Lying to you? You didn't know that. Mackenzie, make your choice.
I don't do this anymore. I can't do this.
Can't do what?
I can't. I won't.
You must.
This isn't a game.
You have to.
You know what? This isn't fair.
You must.
It isn't fair. I can't. Take me. I'll go instead of them. I'll take their place. You take me. I'll go in their place. You leave my kids alone and you take me.
Mackenzie. You've judged your children worthy of love. Even if it costs you everything. Now you know Papa's heart.
So now Mac, for a minute, begins to see the world the same way God sees it. In front of him, his two children, both have made mistakes. Both have fallen short. But Mac can't choose. Mac can't decide. Even though they wronged him and made mistakes, he wants the best for them. And this is how God sees Nineveh. But Jonah doesn't see it through God's eyes. What's interesting, though, is that Jonah does decide to go. This is what it says in chapter 3. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh. God gave Jonah another chance. And Jonah goes and he says what God wanted him to say. Jonah gets to Nineveh and he warns them of God's wrath. That if they don't change, this is what's coming. When he does this, he's not happy about it. Jonah doesn't want them to change. He's hoping that it goes in ear and out the other, in one ear and out the other. That they do not change. Because Jonah still thinks they deserve punishment. He believes they truly deserve a wrath and a judgment that punishes and crushes them. But they change. They hear the word of God and they recognize who God is and what he's saying, and they decide to pull a complete 180 and they completely change. They repent and ask for forgiveness. And then this is what Jonah has to say to God about how he felt about the situation now that they changed. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. Next verse. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. Jonah's saying, God, I'd rather die than you not punish the people of Nineveh. Jonah is upset. He doesn't want this. But we have to remember that forgiveness is not always about them. Sometimes forgiveness is about us. It helps us to move on and helps us to let go. We have a part in forgiveness that heals our soul and it heals our life. Jonah does not change at the end of the story. From what we read, I want to hope that later on in life Jonah gets it, but from what we read, he didn't get it. It ends with him in a very sour place. And God having to talk to Jonah, and God says to Jonah, why are you so angry about this? There's 120,000 people in Nineveh, all in darkness, and you want them all condemned. Why do you think that you're the judge? But this does not need to be the same for us and the people who hurt us. We see Mac in the movie in this hard place. You and I are in this hard place, and what do? Thankfully, we can take our example from God. We see how God handles people who hurt him through Jesus. Because Jesus forgave even when they condemned him. Even when they chose to kill him, Jesus says, God, forgive them. We were called, our job, our part of the story is to forgive. Jesus comes and he dies for the very people who condemned him. They hated him, they killed him, and Jesus forgives them. This is how God feels about you. This is why he sent Jesus, why he sent his son to our place. He did it for you. Forgiveness is for you. For the person who murdered Mac's innocent daughter. For his father who used to beat up his mom and beat up him. For the 120,000 people in spiritual darkness in Nineveh. For the people who hurt my family. And for the person who hurt you. That person that could be on your mind right now. When people wrong us, it's easy to pass judgment on them, to believe that they don't deserve forgiveness. And if they do get forgiveness, we have to wonder, is God good then to forgive a person like that? The answer is yes. Because God is the God of another chance. Not a second chance, but another chance. Constantly giving a new chance. God's love doesn't stop even at the deepest hurt. It doesn't make what they did okay. Hear me today. It does not make what they did okay. But that's not our job to worry about. If we trust God and believe he's in control, we'll see him move. Jonah does not trust God. But looking back, we can see the story of Jonah and know that a little bit ahead, Jesus was coming to bring forgiveness to the world. That's God showing his control. Because God, like Mac, wants the best for his children. God wants to redeem the people who hurt us. And God truly wants to know them. In this last clip, we're going to see that God is now an elderly man because he realizes that this is what Mac needed. He starts to redeem the role of what a good father looks like. And this is what he's going to say to Mac about the man who hurt him. Let's watch.
Damn him. He should burn in hell.
So we're back to you as the judge.
So you just let him get away with it.
Nobody gets away with anything. Everything bears consequences.
What he did
was horrible. I'm not asking you to excuse what he did. I'm asking you to trust me, to do what's right, and to know what's best.
And then what?
Forgiveness doesn't establish your relationship. It's just about letting go of his throat. Mac, the pain inside is devouring you, robbing you of joy and crippling your capacity to love. You're not stuck because you can't. You're stuck because you won't.
The forgiveness is for us. That's our part in the story. We forgive as we've been forgiven. Let God handle the rest. Forgiveness, like it says in the movie, does not establish a relationship. That doesn't mean you're going to be best friends and things are going to be great and you're going to be skipping down the hallway. What it means is that you let go of their throat. That you're no longer wishing that they deserve hell or that they cannot be redeemed. Forgiveness helps you to move on. And I believe today that there's some steps that we can take to begin forgiveness in our lives with the people who've hurt us. Because if we leave it alone, that unforgiveness becomes poison in our lives. And it will start to be in all the relationships around us. And those fights that you have that don't make sense can probably be chased back to the hurt that you once had. But let me tell you also today that there's an art to forgiving. Just because you say it doesn't mean it's going to be true. It could take you forever. It could take a lifetime for you to truly forgive someone. But I think we can start with a few practical steps that will start moving us down the road. I think the first step we need to take is we need to say it out loud. Not necessarily to the person, but on your own. Either you're driving in your car, or you're at home, and you just say it out loud. I forgive, and whoever it was, because of what you did. And I'm telling you, it sounds easy. When you try and mean it when you try and make it not sound as empty words, and you try and say, I forgive you for, it's hard. And I bet you the first few times you're not going to mean it. But over time, you'll start to understand, maybe I am letting go of this. Maybe I can forgive. So the first step is say it out loud that you forgive them. The second step, if you've already said it out loud, would you go to that person and tell them that you forgive them? And if you're not there yet, would you seek counseling for it? Because if that's a step you can't take, maybe you need to go figure out the root of that hurt. Figure out, why are you at that point where you just cannot forgive? Counseling is a beautiful thing, and I think everyone should go at least once. Because when you start talking out your feelings, you start to understand, wow, maybe I am hurt. I remember when I came to Crossbridge, I thought I was fine. I let it all go. I've talked about it. And then, of course, our staff meeting is like a giant counseling session. And as I talk, I'm starting to realize, wow, maybe I am still hurt. Maybe I am still angry at what happened and what's going on. First step, say it out loud. Second, either say it to them or seek counseling. And the third thing, and this is for the believers in the room. The rest of it, that's just good advice. But this one, if you were a believer, would you pray for them? Would you pray for the person in life who hurt you most and say, God, I want you to redeem them. And God, I want you to forgive them too. That is true forgiveness. And I'm telling you that it will not be an easy thing. I'm still wrestling with that. To pray that they get to meet God and they have a chance at eternity. But this is what we need to do to forgive. This is what we are called to do. So say it out loud. Talk to someone about it. And then pray for the person who's hurt you most. God is wonderfully kind, tolerant, patient, and he's working to bring us back to him. And just like God loves us and has redeemed us, God loves them and wants to redeem them. So as Alan comes back up to do that last song, we're going to be singing Good, Good Father. And for some of you, just dealing with that hurt, you might think, God, you aren't good. But today we saw that he is. So when we sing, remember you are singing to a good Father who loves you, who's calling us to forgive. Let's pray. God, we love and we thank you. And we believe, God, that you are truly a good, good Father calling us to forgive. Help us to forgive today, Lord. And God, now as we prepare to give back to you with our finances, we're saying we trust you here too. We trust you in all aspects of our life, God. Help this to resonate with people today. Help us to change and not be like Jonah and run away. We love and we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.